This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Nick Caserio doesn't want to bring in the best players next season? That's what I saw on the text line this morning when Caserio was on. Wade Smith, I want to get your insight on what Caserio had to say about the process of putting this roster together leading up to opening day, which is about 3 months and change away. Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll put the team together as best we can and just try to make the right decisions. And it's not necessarily about the best 53. It's going to be about the right 53.
Okay. Not the best 53, but the right 53. Explain that.
I mean, it's been explained here for the past, I don't know, when did Bill O'Brien get here?
Don't do this. Don't be throwing B.O.B. in this.
He's in it. He's go back.
Smart, dependable guys.
Listen, you know that you can go back and you do all kind of research. You'll be able to find by tomorrow 10 different times Bill O'Brien said it's not about the best 53, it's the right 53. That is a common Patriot way type of approach to building a roster. And it works in New England. I don't know if it's necessarily going to work here. Maybe. Who knows? It hasn't worked anywhere else like that. But I look at it like this. Certain guys might be better football players, but they're not going to fit in this situation because maybe this player is a better player, but he's a selfish player. Or maybe he's a better player, but he doesn't work as well in this particular scheme that they're going to run here. So it's about the fit. That's when they say that, that's what that means. Like, hey, I gotta have a guy that is willing to be the number two receiver or willing to go a couple of games without getting a bunch of catches, without it causing an issue and having him to raise concerns and it being something that we have to deal with. So it's about the right 53, is not the best 53 necessarily.
I look at it differently than you. I think that's going to be the mindset when they get good. And I agree with that. But I think in this situation, I think you're looking for more chess pieces than checker pieces. Like in other words, like let's say that Whitney Mercilus at this point, let's say Whitney Mercilus and Jacob Martin are on the team, mm-hmm. and Whitney's a better football player at this point in his career, and Jacob Martin's not there yet, but you know he's going to be here past 2021. Put a guy like Jacob Martin on the field instead of Whitney Mercilus. Or if it's coming down to, like, let's say training camp comes, and I'll try to use a specific let's say that Dante Moncrief, I don't expect him to be on the team. We'll see.
Right.
But let's say Dante Moncrief is two steps ahead of Isaiah Coulter.
Correct.
And he's a better player right now.
Right.
If it's close enough, don't you go with Coulter instead of Moncrief in this situation? He might not be the best, but you're trying to kind of build a squad and build depth. Does that make sense?
In a lot of cases, the tie will go to youth, the tie will go to inexpensive. The slightly worse will go to the younger, more inexperienced player. That's just smart business when you're constructing a team.
Especially here, though, right?
Right, here, based off the situation that they're in right now. But you can't say that that's going to be the case for every position group or every situation because you do need that veteran part of your team. That is something. There's something to be said for that. There might be a player that is a little bit older that you keep around because what he brings to the table as far as intangibles, what he brings to the locker room, how he can school up guys to be great leaders, how he can help install the culture. Those things matter. To me, that's a big reason why Whitney got a big contract last year, because he was one of, quote-unquote, Bill O'Brien's guys. Now, that can backfire on you.
Second time you brought him up this segment, Smitty.
I mean, you started off the segment talking about not the best 53 or the right 53. That's text line 713-572-4610. Is that not the 46th time that y'all have heard that in the past 5 years? Like, that's normal. I mean,
that's kind of the deal in pro football.
I mean, that was not uncommon for me to hear coming from Nick Caserio, knowing that Bill O'Brien's background, it came from Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick out there in New England. So that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez here on Sports Radio 610. I think that's kind of the frustrating thing for many, is you're hearing Nick Caserio say a lot of things that you've heard the last 7 years from Bill O'Brien. But you also got to realize Bill O'Brien was trying to be Patriot Way.
Exactly.
Caserio was part of the beginning of Patriot Way. So, like, let's just say there's like a knockoff or something like that, like a knockoff comedian, a knockoff entertainer, whatever. If you see the knockoff
first,
and the knockoff beats your ass for over a half decade, and then eventually the originator or one of the originators comes after that, you're going to naturally be annoyed by it. It's only natural for fans to roll their eyes at some of the stuff Caserio's saying that is said all over the place, but we've heard it from the knockoff for such a long time that it triggers a lot of people.
Yeah, it does, and I understand why it does. And until they actually show it with results, people are going to continue to look at it like this doesn't make any sense. But there's something to be said for you putting the right people together in a group. And because of the chemistry of the group, the individual parts, there might be some better individual parts elsewhere, but these collective groups of people actually work better together than if we would have had all of these great individual talents and just put them in a room and said, because it's about, when you're playing football, it's the ultimate team sport. I'm going to be super cliche guy. That is a fact. Like, if you don't have a good team, if you don't have a great, like, guys know how to work together and do things the right way, you're
Jeez,
not going to be successful. I just told you before I did it that I was going to be Mr. Cliche
Jeez,
guy.
Coach.
Yeah, it's the truth, though.
53's got to make one.
Five become one. The fist. That's what you got to have in order to be a success in the NFL. It's the truth.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez here on Sports Radio 610.
We'll have a chance to win football games. How many? I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers, it's complicated in Green Bay. We know it's complicated here with Deshaun Watson. However, we have not quite seen this from Texans shot callers. This was Packers president Mark Murphy at somewhat of like an owner / season ticket rally talking about Aaron Rodgers. And if you thought it was awkward between Rodgers and Green Bay before, might have gotten a little bit more awkward after this.
Ted Thompson, most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year.
Or excuse me, earlier this year. Often talked about Aaron that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that.
Aaron Rodgers, complicated fella, quoting the late Ted Thompson on that. Kind of felt like he realized midway through that sentence that he probably shouldn't have been throwing Ted Thompson and Aaron Rodgers and all that out there. But describes Aaron Rodgers as a complicated fella, courtesy of Ted Thompson.
Yeah, that whole situation is complicated, and you can tell that he hasn't found his footing on how to address it because he doesn't have the answers. He ain't got the answers, Sway. He don't got the answers. And so because he doesn't have the answers, he's kind of fumbling around trying to figure out how to approach it and how to address it. When in actuality, Aaron Rodgers holds the keys to the kingdom. Like, if Aaron Rodgers decides not to show up, and he doesn't want to play anymore, they're screwed. This season is screwed, and they have a lot of pieces in place for them to be very successful this year, to go right back to the NFC Championship game and potentially go to the Super Bowl if they have their quarterback in the fold. And if they don't, they won't. And he knows that. And the reasoning behind it, he doesn't have the answers to it. Basically, the reasoning behind your meal ticket not wanting to be there is actually you. So how do you address that? Are you going to step away and resign? No, you're going to do your job. You got a family you got to feed, and you're going to try to rectify the situation the best you can. But as of right now, when people are asking him a question, he ain't got the answer, Sway.
It's a different situation in Green Bay compared to the Deshaun Watson situation. Could it almost be time for them to move on from Aaron Rodgers if they can get the compensation? Because they did draft a guy in the first round 2 years ago, because Aaron Rodgers is on the back end, because there's already some ruffled feathers and you never know when Aaron Rodgers is going to go. Could it actually make sense from Green Bay's perspective, although you're probably going to take a couple steps back this year, to just move on? Like,
I feel like I feel like if Jordan Love was ready, they'd be talking and addressing Aaron Rodgers in a completely different way.
Instead of basically being on their knees saying, we love you.
They're groveling and like, please, Aaron, come back. And you're trying to figure out ways. If Jordan Love was ready, teams don't have any problems with moving on from anybody, period. If they got somebody that can replace that person, they will replace that person. Cheaper and younger is always better if you can get the same amount of production. That's the name of the game. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers knows this. The organization knows this. So them trying to move on from him, they could try to move on from him and try to get compensation, but then what are you doing? You're setting yourself back tremendously this year, because there's no quarterback out there that can come in and put you in a position to win this year like Aaron Rodgers can. And the team is built to win right now. So to me, they need to cut the check. I've all along, I felt like this thing is about money. Cut the check. They don't like cutting the check when they just cut the check. He'll come back in, he'll play for you, and then you'll be fine. But
then
cut
you're
the
basically
check.
At his mercy, though, right?
They're at his mercy already, Landry. They're at the mercy already. What recourse do they have? They're trying to win now.
They got
they're
a good squad, right?
They got a good squad. Without Aaron Rodgers, they're 8-8. Excuse me, 8-9. They're 9-8. That's who they are with Jordan Love at quarterback. At best, they know that. If they didn't know that, why are they groveling? Why are they just capitulating? Why are they?
I like that word, capitulating. I looked that one up at the break.
SAT.
Shout out to all my SAT.
Who?
All my SAT folks out there. I think some kids are actually starting to take that right now, right?
That's around that time.
Is your daughter already taking it?
She has not taken it yet, and because of COVID, they don't necessarily have to take it.
What?
COVID, man. The kids didn't even have to take their exams this year, bro, if they didn't want to.
That's some BS, man.
They didn't have to. Hey.
Flat out BS.
Great in school. A's and A, mostly A's.
Yeah,
and
like some people make up ground with the SAT.
I'm sure they do. And some people don't get opportunities because of the SAT. So SAT. So it is what it is.
Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Coming up, it's been one of the biggest disagreements around town. 713-572-4610. To start or to sit? The Davis Mills dilemma. Or is there even a dilemma? We'll discuss next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Davis Mills, third round pick, Houston Texans, Nick Caserio's first selection, plays the most important position in sports, for sure in football. And there's been a lot of talk. John McClain's going to join us tomorrow at 10:40. He's one of the guys that feels you got to get a look at Davis Mills. You got to see what he has before next season. You got to put him in the lineup, whether it's week 10, whether it's week 9, whether it's right off the bat. You got to see what you got in Davis Mills. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. What is your reaction to the notion that Davis Mills needs to step on the field this year, and you got to see what he's about and this urgency that John McClain and many others are preaching?
I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I don't understand the expectations that you're heaping on a guy that are unwarranted. Because of your mistakes in the past, you're going to heap these expectations on a guy now and completely write him off before he actually has an opportunity to develop. Because the sentiment is, and I'm going to read from a text line here because it just popped up 3 minutes ago, says you play Davis Mills early because you need to find out if he has anything or if you take a quarterback with your first pick next year. Next year, he would have been a high 2 or a low 1 pick. If he does have what it takes, you can speed up the rebuild process because you can draft something other than a quarterback. And that's from Bush. Listen, I understand it. In a perfect world, it would all work out. But what you're failing to take into account is Davis Mills in the scenario that you're putting out there. You're basically going to say, I'm going to throw him out there too soon, and then when he fails, I'm going to move on from him and get a quarterback high in the draft. Whereas Davis Mills might be a starting quarterback 3-4 years down the road somewhere if he gets time to develop and he grows into the guy that he potentially could be. But if you started too soon and he doesn't play well, and because he doesn't play well early in his career, that transfers into his future play. Now you've ruined the guy before he was ready just because you wanted to make sure if you had a guy or not now, and you wanted to make your draft pick to the future, or you could pick another position. I just don't think that is a smart way. It's not the way to go about putting together a roster and a smart way of going about building and figuring out who your quarterback of the future is going to be, since Deshaun Watson is no longer going to be here. In my opinion, the quarterback of the future for the Houston Texans, a guy that you could expect to be, is whoever that pick that Deshaun Watson brings you back. Like when you make the trade for him, if you make the trade sometime before training camp and that trade becomes a top 5 pick or top 10 pick or whatever that pick becomes, that first rounder, and that guy is the guy that's going to have those expectations on him. But why are you heaping expectations on a guy that there's not coming in with the background and resume that says you should heap these expectations? And even guys that are really like highly touted, sometimes they're being thrown into the fray too early. And so I don't think it makes a lot of sense for you to put a guy out there before he's ready. If he's ready to be the guy, that's a completely different conversation. You're basing that off of what Davis Mills shows you day in and day out.
But you're taking that's one thing. You're taking what we know about Davis Mills, and you're saying that you are skeptical to believe that he's going to be ready, right?
Because
that's what I feel. That's what I feel.
It rarely happens that way. It rarely works out that way. And just because of a narrative, because he was the first pick of Nick Caserio, we got to see him now because he's going to want to see his new toy, his shiny new toy that he brought in. Who thinks that way? Who gets that far in life with that mentality?
I think it's a dangerous territory when you start comparing what Caserio did in New England to how he's going to function moving forward, because we know Belichick was the shot caller. And let's be honest, when you're the Patriots and you have that much success for that long a period of time, you're drafting with a different mindset than you are right now. But I will say this, as far as fundamentals, New England drafted guys in the second, third round, fourth round, mm-hmm. quarterbacks, all the mm-hmm. way up to the seventh, that they didn't even – they were drafting those guys as backup quarterbacks.
They just learned from Tom, and they got opportunities elsewhere, or if Tom got hurt.
Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick. Mallett, I think, was a third-round pick. Brissett was a fourth-round pick. Castle was a seventh-round pick. So, again, it's dangerous to compare the New England philosophy to now, although I'm sure that a lot of those philosophies do travel from New England to Houston. But if you just look at – I think Seth said they drafted 10 quarterbacks while Tom was there – they aren't necessarily drafting guys every time they draft a quarterback with the mindset that this guy is going to play. They did develop backups drafted around that area.
Right, and I think that is a smart way to approach it. If you approach it the other way, you're setting Davis Mills up for failure. Like, first and foremost, you're setting the player up for failure. And if you're a GM or you're a coach and your first thought is not player-centered or trying to figure out what's the best thing for the player, then I don't really have respect for what you do, because that's what it's all about. If you're a coach, you're not going to put a guy out there when he's not ready. If you're doing that, you're doing him a disservice. That's just all bad. And like I said, a lot of the narratives that are being creative and being put out there are things that make sense if you're just watching it and you hope that happens. But don't expect those things to happen. And then don't expect the GM to make moves in accordance to that. And I think I heard Show the other day say if Davis Mills doesn't play a certain amount of games this year, then it was a bad pick by Nick Caserio. Well, who else was they going to get in the third round that could potentially have the future return that a quarterback could? Just because he doesn't play this first year, like that's an ego-driven thought process that I got to get my guy it's the first pick that I've made in this franchise, he's got to play. No, he's got to go work. He's got to show that he's prepared. He's got to show that he's able to be a quarterback in this league. And if he does, then he will play, because we've been saying all throughout the show today, the younger, more inexpensive guy will always play if the production is similar, right? The tie is going to go to the younger, inexperienced guy. Tyrod Taylor, if he plays, it's going to cost the Texans money. The more he plays, the more money it's going to cost them, right? But at the end of the day, Tyrod Taylor is a ready-made quarterback to play right now. He was a ready-made quarterback the past 6 years. He's been a starter going into the season, right? Mm-hmm. And it's 6 years now? Six straight years going into the season, he was a starting quarterback.
Since 14, yeah.
So why would that change now because you drafted a guy in the third round? This is really weird. I don't because he happened to be your first pick because the franchise made bad decisions in the past. Let's not follow up bad decisions with other bad decisions at the sake of Davis Mills.
The other thing that concerns me, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, and for John Lopez, 713-572-4610, if you want to get in. The word process is a word that's being used a lot. The number one way to throw off a process is drafting a quarterback just to draft a quarterback. And even if Davis Mills, regardless of what happens with Davis Mills, I don't want the Texans to be in position to where if they have the number one overall pick, they just decide they want to draft the best quarterback available. If Thibodeau out of Oregon is what they're hyping him up to be, and he's a Chase Young or something like that, that type of player, that type of edge guy, I don't want the Texans to get in position to where they're just drafting a quarterback just to draft a quarterback. 2009 to 2017, every quarterback drafted in the first round is on a different squad right now.
Yeah.
Or they're not with the team that selected them from then. So I don't want to get in this situation where we feel like, or we have to sell ourselves on the top quarterback just to draft a quarterback, because sometimes the guy's not there. So if you draft a Thibodeau and that's your cornerstone guy, I want to be in that situation. I don't want to, regardless of what happens with Davis Mills, be heading into next year. And not, if you like somebody, you like somebody, but feel like I got to draft this guy just because he plays quarterback. That's a danger zone.
It's a danger zone, and usually teams that do that, they set themselves back, and they usually end up gone. It doesn't work out that way. Like, it's not a good way to go about doing business of, hey, I'm going to pick a guy because, hey, we needed a guy. How many times does it work out? We need a quarterback, so we got a quarterback. Even though, you know, you start to convince yourself that this is the guy because, hey, we gotta have somebody. When you operate in that fashion, you set yourself up for failure. And my biggest thing is, let's not heap these expectations on Davis Mills, because it's not fair to him. He has nothing to do with the bad decisions that the Texans made before they picked him.
That's my thing.
Let's not compound it.
That's my
by
thing.
By throwing him out there. Once again, I will reiterate, if he is ready, he will play. Because that makes perfect sense. You got a young guy that's cheap, and he's showing to you day in and day out that he's ready to play.
But based on the data you have, you shouldn't expect him to be ready. That's my point.
Exactly.
If he surpasses those expectations, tip of the cap.
Exactly.
But it's unfair to the kid that we knew heading into this draft that this guy had unrealized potential. He would have been this. Not he is this. He would have been this. And then all of a sudden he comes to a situation that's not favorable and you increase expectations. That makes no sense to me. That is ass backwards thinking to me. Because he's in a worse situation, all of a sudden you increase the expectations for him. That's not fair to the kid.
I would say this. If you feel like that he would be a first rounder next year, then let's have those expectations for him to play next year, but not this year. Because if you're a first-round draft pick, a first-round quarterback, if you're in the top 15 picks, I'll say, they're going to expect you to play that first year. There's a lot of guys that were picked after number 15 that they didn't start their first year in the league, and they're great quarterbacks in the league now. Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson.
Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. Well, he was picked. He was like 13, though, right?
He was a first-round pick, though, but he only started one game his first year.
But what I'm saying is the expectations were people were like, all right, well, it was different from Mahomes because Alex Smith was playing at a high level.
Yeah, he had his
best
Mahomes, year.
And Mahomes' people were kind of like, he's super talented, but we don't know if it's going to work in the NFL because he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So he's not getting heaped on him. The expectations of Texans fans are putting on Davis Mills. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, the
sense
other thing is, I mean, a lot
and
of
– and it's not a lot of Texans. I mean, it's not all
it's not
Texans
all,
fans.
Some.
But there is a significant amount of people because they were told these strengths of Davis Mills and things that could potentially be good about Davis Mills that, oh, well, then he needs to play then. Slow down.
But the other thing is, when you put those expectations on, you're also kind of evaluating him like no other rookie quarterback. Peyton Manning has the record for most interceptions in a season. So all of a sudden, if Davis Mills goes in there and has two bad starts, I'm supposed to just say, oh, Nick Casario, you got a punt on this guy. It just seems like the expectations are crazy.
But see, that's the thing, though. If he came out and had the year that Peyton Manning had, his second year, he probably wouldn't be in the league or he'd be third string quarterback. And you ruin him. Peyton Manning was the number one overall pick. He was going to work through the growing pains. So it's different. You got two totally different scenarios and backgrounds coming into it. And the margin for error for Davis Mills is a lot less than it was for Peyton Manning. And the talent is a lot different as well.
Significantly. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, Wade Smith talking about Davis Mills as a potential starter. We're a few weeks away from training camp. Lots to discuss next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Yeah, as long as it's not too sore. So, again, between you, Sean, and Quincy Avery, I mean, I don't know who had more comments about my mechanics. So, I guess I got a lot of work to do in the offseason.
Hey, I thought it looked fine. I don't know if Quincy was...
I mean, at least Seth didn't have anything to say. I mean, you know, he played defensive line, but I'm sure he's got some comments about how I throw a football. So.
No, your release is kind of slow. That was that's
Nick Casario earlier this morning, Wade Smith in for John Lopez, Davis Mills. No hurry on your end for Davis Mills to get on the field in 2021.
Please don't. Take your time, develop, become the guy that you could potentially be. If he's ready and he plays and prepares above and beyond what many others, the vast, vast, vast majority of third-round draft picks do in the NFL, then, yeah, you go out here and throw him in there. That is a bonus. But to expect them to play a significant amount of time so that it can determine a decision you make as far as drafting a quarterback the next year, I think this is a foolish way of approaching building your roster and putting a team together. It just doesn't make any sense. And it adds a lot of factors that are irrelevant in determining who you want to be the starting quarterback of your franchise. You're bringing in ego and, oh, it's his first pick that he ever made. He doesn't strike me as that type of guy. He just got clowned by Quincy Avery and Seth Payne, and he just laughed about it.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Gary, you're on In the Loop with Landry Locker and Wade Smith in for John Lopez.
Hey, just wanted to say, I think the issue here is why this debate's going on, because it was just not a smart pick overall at this particular juncture in the franchise. Like, this is a pick you make if you have an established quarterback. We're going to have a top five pick unless something miraculous happens. We're not going to know what Davis Mills can give us. And we're just, I mean, it'll basically be a wasted draft pick. I just don't see why we would take a quarterback with a roster that's completely barren. We didn't have the first two picks. And so that's why this debate is going back and forth, because, frankly, it just wasn't a smart pick to pick a developmental guy on a team that's about to have a top five draft pick.
To me, I get what he's saying. Gary, appreciate the call. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are 1-713-572-4610. I think this is the time to draft a developmental guy when you're in this process. I get what he's saying, but to me, this is like the ideal time to draft a developmental guy as you are amidst a process. If he doesn't get on the field, okay. Are you telling me you're going to draft someone in the third round that's going to make some significant impact? You got to give me a name. Like, that's one of my pet peeves when it comes to the draft, is we act like this is like Uber Eats, and you can just say, like, whenever Nick Caserio hands the draft card to Roger Goodell, he basically writes, "Give me a starting cornerback, lockdown guy," and he hands it to Roger Goodell, and he says that. Like, right. You got to give me a specific name there. This seems like the time to draft a developmental guy, Smitty.
So when I looked at this, I was highly surprised that Davis Mills got picked when he was picked. Because I didn't hear anything about him being drafted in the third round. That just didn't. I was surprised. I was like, Davis, what? Oh, okay. Well, I guess. And so I can understand fan sentiment of like, well, why did you draft this guy? Well, they had intimate knowledge of the type of person he was and the potential player he could be. Potential does not mean rush into putting him on the field so you can determine a decision you make the following season. Because you're most likely not going to be a good football team to win enough games to where you're going to be picking pretty high in the draft. You're going to be picking in the top 10, top 15 in the draft. So now, since we're going to be bad, you know, hey, you know, let's play this guy now so we don't have to use that pick on a quarterback. I just think that doesn't make any sense to me. If that's the way that you approach it. You approach it as, hey, you're picking a third round guy. Like, how many third rounders are going to come in and have a tremendous amount of success their rookie year? When you just talk about positional players overall, that number goes up a lot higher than it does with quarterbacks. So then you say, well, why did you draft a quarterback? The team is not in a time right now. It's not a process right now where they have to say, we need to get a guy that's going to come in and be the starter right now. That's the way you look at it. If, let's say, Bill O'Brien still was the GM and he didn't have any of the first two picks, and his job's on the line, that pick that you picking in the third round, your first pick, because you traded ones away, that one's got to hit. You got to get a starter out of that, because you have to basically prove up your plan. Well, Nick Caserio's plan and Bill O'Brien's plan are two totally different things, and Nick Caserio's timeline and Bill O'Brien's timelines were two totally different things, and the decisions they're going to make are based upon that. Like, hey, he brought in a bunch of veterans on his team there on free agency because he wants to win as many games as possible this year. But at the same time, he's not going to forego, you know, making sound decisions over a period of time just because, you know, the first pick that he ever had in his career is going to be a quarterback, and you guys are expecting him to be the starting quarterback. That just doesn't make sense.
That line of thinking, I don't have a first or second round pick, so I have to hit a home run with the third round, and if this guy's developmental, I shouldn't draft him because of that situation. I respect that line of thinking. I respect all lines of thinking when it comes to talking sports, but I don't want that guy leading my organization during a rebuild.
No.
If that's the way Nick Caserio thinks, I don't want that guy being my leader.
I don't want that guy leading the organization, period. If you think that way, if it's that selfish and you're making decisions based off of that, then you're not the right guy. And so I would hope that's not the case. Like, if you're worried about getting negative press because your first pick that you ever had with the franchise didn't work out, then you're the wrong guy for the job. Hey, you're making a pick because you think this guy eventually is going to be a good football player, period. And your timeline for his development, your timeline is based off of what he shows you day in and day out, not based off of a deadline you set yourself so that you can make sure you can make a good decision next year. Like that part doesn't work for me.
Chuck, you're on In the Loop with Landry Locker and Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious as to the thinking. It seems like, Tyrod is going to start the season. I think that's true. But if he got hurt, everybody is jumping from Tyrod to Davis. What happened to Driscoll?
Yeah, I actually think that if Tyrod Taylor got hurt week one, I think there's a better than 50% chance that Driscoll would be the guy you've seen.
He would.
And
that's why they brought him in. He's a veteran guy. He has
started
some
nine
experience.
Games. He's won one of them, but right, let's just sweep that aside.
Hey, it's not like the roster is not in its best position that it's been over the years. Don't get me wrong. But just because the roster is bad, that doesn't mean you just throw a rookie in there to play with the bad roster. Good luck to the rookie. What are you doing to that guy? I just look at it like this. Tyrod Taylor is going to start because he's shown that he's been a starter the last 6 years. If he doesn't start, it's because Davis Mills does something that is above and beyond any expectation. And that would be awesome for the Houston Texans. That would be a great thing for the fan base, but to expect that to happen is unrealistic. What is realistic is that he comes into the league, he works hard each and every day, he tries to become a better pro, he figures out how to be a pro football player, and then as time goes on, he'll eventually get an opportunity, and hopefully it works out. That's literally the reality of the situation when you're drafting a quarterback in the third round. Because if you go back and check the evidence and look over the years, it takes a tremendous amount of swings at third-round draft picks for the quarterbacks to work out. It takes a tremendous amount of swings at first-round draft picks for quarterbacks to work out. Quarterbacks working out, period, is hard. It's hard. So to put these expectations on him that you don't put on guys that have many more accolades, many more expectations coming into it, it doesn't make any sense to me because the franchise has been bad recently. It's the opposite of that. The ownership is showing you that he's going to be willing to have time to let the person in position of power to make the decisions. He's going to give them time to do what they do. And so that's what's going to happen. Hearing David Culley say, trust the process, talking to a veteran group of guys, that just shows you that that's the line of thinking. That just continues that whole thing. And when people are saying the same things and they match up and they marry up and this A goes to B, goes to C, goes to D, then I can give you the benefit of the doubt to you have a plan. Now, is it going to work? They got to go out there and do it. But I can give you the benefit of the doubt. Now, when you do A to F to C to Z, the stuff that was going on with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, then that's when I'm like, man, what the hell are y'all doing? And that's why you're in the position that you're in now. People standing on the table saying having four fast receivers was going to be better for the offense than having DeAndre Hopkins. Where did that come from? Where did you feel like that was really going to work? I didn't understand it then. I still don't understand it now. It did not work. I didn't expect it to work. You could hope for it to work. You could be optimistic for it to work. But the evidence just shows you that was not going to work.
I just feel like the expectations are being adjusted in a backwards line of thinking, because we're putting ourselves in position to where we're saying, all right, Davis Mills needs to be on the field next year or else it's a failed pick, despite the fact that all the evidence about Davis Mills himself and all of the evidence about third-round picks in the past with a few exceptions show that that's not necessarily the case. And we're also putting ourselves in position, so I think it's unfair to the quarterback, to where we're saying, okay, first and second round picks are your prime assets and your prime picks, and those are the guys that you expect to contribute significantly early on. Again, there are exceptions.
Right.
But now, because Nick Caserio doesn't have a first and second round pick, we're taking this third round pick and saying, if you don't hit on Davis Mills, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I think the expectations need to be adjusted in the different direction. It is a process right here. He did not have a first or second round pick. Davis Mills, in any other situation, would not be expected to make an immediate contribution. So I feel like these expectations are being adjusted in almost a backwards way of thinking. I think it should almost be the opposite.
Like, is Kellen Mond expected to play at all in Minnesota this year?
I don't
year?
Think so.
Like, are they talking about that up there? That, you know, hopefully Kellen Mond can come in and take over for Kirk Cousins?
They're talking about after this year, you want to feel good about Mond because they're probably going to move on from Cousins.
Next year, though.
Yeah.
But not this year.
No.
Is Minnesota expected to be a playoff team this year?
Maybe. I don't know.
They're like.
All right.
Hopefully. It's a hopefully we're in the playoffs this year. I don't get the mentality. I mean, I understand in a perfect world, that's how it would work out. In a perfect world, you'd put him in there week 8, he'd come out there and ball, and then now next season, you figured out, I already got my quarterback, we're good, we can. But that's the thing, if he comes in and balls, then aren't y'all going to win ball games? Like, if you have a quarterback that can play at a high level and you got a bunch of veterans around him and they're actually having a lot of success, unless the defense is bad, that's important. But if the defense is decent as well, then maybe you're winning ball games. So this pick that you're getting, that you're so worried about having to spend on a quarterback that you're not having to spend on them, now you have the 15th pick in the draft or the 16th pick in the draft or something like that, middle of the road, and you're not getting that bona fide, quote-unquote, difference maker that you're wanting all along. So let Davis Mills develop. Like, just let him develop. And if he doesn't develop on your timeline, then you're going to say what you're going to say about the GM, and that's fine, but I don't think he cares. And if he cares, then he's the wrong guy for the job. He's got to have a plan. He's got to be able to put people in positions to succeed and build. And as he's building the roster and he's figuring out the way that the pieces fit, if they're improving and getting better, then he's doing his job the right way. But to put these unrealistic expectations on Davis Mills, I don't think it's fair to Davis Mills. And then to extrapolate that on Nick Caserio, like, who else in the third round went? That's like, we'll see what third rounders have great years. There are going to be a couple of third rounders that have great years, but how many of them coming into the season are you expecting to have great years or to come in and play a significant amount of games? It's just unrealistic. I played as a third rounder, but the guy in front of me got hurt.
713-572-4610 to get in. Larry and Stafford, you're on with Landry and Smitty in for J-Lo.
Hey, I appreciate letting me get in, man. First of all, quit mentioning Davis Mills in the same breath as Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, man. Davis Mills, I don't care what anybody says. Davis Mills needs to be talked about in the Chase Daniels and the Blaine Gabbert.
Thank you.
That's what we're trying to say.
Yes.
And the Nathan Petermans and all those dudes of the world. Davis Mills is the Texans have a history of repeating itself because I remember when the Texans drafted Ben Jones, the running back, when
Ben
we
Tate.
Had Arian Ben Tate, my bad.
Yeah,
Ben
it.
Tate, the running back, when we had Arian Foster after he had lit Indianapolis ass up, we go out there and use the second round pick on Ben Tate. And he can't get on the field because my dog, Arian Foster, became the GOAT of Houston Texans running back. So now we're just going to automatically assume that Davis Mills is going to go out there and at some point is just going to miraculously change the whole dynamic of being a third-round quarterback after playing 11 games. That's silly. If Nick Caserio had to use that pick on a linebacker or a DB or a defensive lineman, you wouldn't be hearing any static out of me. But the fact of the matter that he used what he considered at the time a valuable pick on a quarterback when he knew this team was devoid of talent anyway based on what his buddy Dak used to be and Bill O'Brien had done to gut this team, he should have been trying to figure out how to get somebody that's going to get on the field and give him some kind of run this year. And here's the thing. In talking about Davis Mills and his 11 games that he played, we're sitting here being a victim of some kind of Ponzi scheme or marketing scheme to try to convince you that his 11 games should be able to supplant the 4 years that we watched Deshaun Watson play quarterback at an elite level, and we should just be okay with it. I'm never going to be okay with that old silly-ass stuff, man, because I'm going to tell you something. This team, when it comes to leadership and it comes to players over there, there's a limited amount of dogs over there. And when you don't have a leader of that pack of dogs over there, then it's all going to go awry. I'm not sitting here thinking that I want the Texans to go 0-17, but the Texans are living in some alternate-ass universe if they think that they could go over there and lose 17 games or go 2-15 or whatever it is and think the fan base again just has to sit back and trust the process. When I hear David Culler say trust the process, I'm only convinced his ass don't know what the process is because they ain't telling him. I'm sitting here telling you right now, the most important thing that can happen to the Houston Texans so that this franchise don't fall off the face of this cliff or the face of earth is for number four to bring his ass in there and show these boys what some leadership. And I know y'all get tired of hearing me saying that every day, but I ain't giving up on somebody that I know is the only option that can keep us in the playoffs and get us to a Super Bowl while everybody sit around here and eat another bowl full of cereal meals and all this other junk, man. Landry, I'm sorry that I get irate and get passionate about this,
nah.
But I'm tired of losing, dog. And when you lose, and as a Houston Texans fan that sat around for 20 years and ain't never tasted the glory land, it's sickening, man. Davis Mills isn't the answer, but if y'all want to continue to believe he is, I'm going to wait till Deshaun get back and show y'all he ain't, and I'll holler.
All right. Don't ever apologize for the passion, Larry. Shout out to Larry and Stafford. Shout out to all the loopholes. J-Lo back tomorrow. We will have John McClain at 10:40 presented by Horn Solutions. Your chance to win $1,000 a couple times coming up. For Wade Smith in for the OG. For Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you manana at 10 a.m. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Happy birthday to my pops. A year short of 70. Happy birthday to Aunt Gladys. Happy birthday to Uncle Herman. Three siblings born on the same day, years apart. My grandparents must have had some special day going on 9 months in advance of that. It's always real, fellas.
Thank you, Peggy.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.